Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Drew Casper, writing in The Hollywood Reporter, speaks of ours as being a post-Christian era. In our day, the church is under attack as never before. The National Federation of Decency points out, ostracizing Christians from the mainstream of society is just beginning. Many believe that unless Christians get involved, physical persecution is only a generation away. An example of a form of persecution is that of the Lotz Realty Company in Newport News, Virginia. The use of the Christian symbol of a fish and the words, "Jesus is coming," are the basis for the suit. The state has opposed the logo as a form of discrimination against non-Christians. The suit called it advertising his religion. Another example of ridicule for God's servants is seen in what was called a parody in Hustler magazine, in which Dr. Jerry Falwell was shown as having a relationship with his mother. Now, famous for outrageous, irreverent comedy is what Sarah Purcell said of New York's WNBC disc jockey, Don Imus. On NBC's Real People, he said he does not make fun of people's belief in Jesus. We make fun and attempt to satirize, in this particular case, evangelists who use people's belief in Jesus to make money. That's all. We don't make fun of Jesus, he said. So do you see the sly way, however, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being brought into disrepute. What goes on today on television you may not be aware of. On one program, a waitress who was a Christian kept using the phrase, "The Lord works in mysterious ways." At first she was told that her fiancé had married another woman. Then she was told that her house had been destroyed, her mother and brother were killed, that she only had 1 week to live. Each time she responded, "That's all right, I should have expected it. The Lord works in mysterious ways." Well, the implication is that Christians are stupid, they're unintelligent, and that God is cruel. The indication is that we'll see an increase in the deterioration of programs since there's been a deregulation of the airwaves. Home Box Office TV has been off limits to Christian homes from its beginning, because it features programs that are demoralizing and degrading, to say the least. A man who works for a United States congressman wrote us, "I heard your message, what God says about sin. Please send me that printed copy." He says he's worked on the porno plague that is affecting America. He refers to it as unbridled, undisciplined, out-of-control sexploits. Martha Roundtree, familiar to those who have heard Meet the Press, is campaigning to clean up TV. She writes, "More and more, instead of uplifting, wholesome family entertainment, we see vulgar sex and crude violence." She notes Bing Crosby said before his death, "Writers and producers are working nudity, permissiveness, irresponsibility, profanity, scenes of semi-explicit sex, provocative dialogue, smutty innuendos, and situations into their shows. I fear they are depicting life it is going to be if they are not diverted," she notes. And if you have a mind to watch and enjoy the filth on television, you're just as guilty as the program or person producing such rot. For according to Romans 1:32, we read, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Or the Greek more emphatically states, "have consent with them that practice them." So by watching these shows, these programs, whether in the movies or on television, we're giving consent to what we watch by watching. We're saying we want this kind of fare, or else we would turn the dial and refuse to have anything to do with this vulgar kind of entertainment. Says Martha Roundtree, people simply don't have to watch something that they feel is obscene, objectionable, violent, unattractive, or something that's bad for their children. There's something to be done, and we only need to do it by taking action. I'll write letters to the stations, to the sponsors. If the sponsors refuse to produce programs honoring standards of morality, refuse to buy their products. That's the stand that many crusaders are taking today. Red Skelton warned, now they say this doesn't affect your mind. But if you can subliminally sell a product in 30 seconds, what does 1 hour of filth and violence do to your brain? Our concern is for our youth, whose minds are so easily captured by the devil of lust. Paul, writing to Timothy, speaks of those whose word will eat as doth a canker. Pornography is like a cancer that will keep eating into the vital areas of your soul until you're possessed with a spirit of lust you can't fight off any more than a drunkard can fight off drink. Dear Peter described those having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Is this description of those who watch soap operas where promiscuous sex is the subject, which in reality is adultery? James describes the progression of sin, saying, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. How many are victimized by lust of one kind or another, who would like to be set free, but they're in bondage to fleshly lusts and unsatisfied appetites? Again, Paul speaks of these kind of people, saying that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Think of it. Satan is so powerful he can cause this encounter with pornography to become an obsession, one that cannot leave your mind. You keep thinking about what you saw, fantasizing as though you're part of the action. Or it can become an oppression, like a burden you carry, with the leech dug deep into your very being, so you cannot cease from sin. But the reason Jesus came was to bring deliverance to those who are made captives by sin. So the devil's a defeated foe. You don't have to do what he wants you to do. You don't have to be held captive any longer. The writer of the Hebrews says of Jesus that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So the Lord came to destroy the works of the devil. Ah, we repeat for the sake of those undergoing this kind of temptation that the devil's a defeated foe. We don't have to be subject unto him. So read your Bible. Make it your first source of strength at the beginning of each day. Throughout the day, don't allow your mind to dwell on the impure and lustful. If possible, keep your radio tuned to a Christian station so you can have your mind influenced, filled with the word of God proclaimed by one of God's messengers. This is what Paul meant when he wrote, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." The secret to victory is to live the crucified life, as a dead person isn't conscious of what goes on around him, so you need not be moved or motivated by the worldly, sensual life of those around you. Like a fish swimming in salty water does not taste a bit salty, so you can be in the world, but not of the world. In fact, in this very passage where we're encouraged to walk in the Spirit, we're also reminded they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. Did you hear it? Have your affections been nailed to Christ's cross? A songwriter seeks to convey this truth by saying, have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? So what about it? Is your heart right with the Lord? If not, today settle the matter. Come to Christ. Believe that he has the solution to your problem. He has the answer to every need. Simply call upon his name. Ask his help and guidance. Pray the sinner's prayer. Lord, I know I've done wrong. I come to you with my burden of sin. I cast it upon you. I believe you forgive me, as your word declares. If we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Beloved, one reason we know we're living in the last days is because the Scriptures remind us iniquity would abound. As a result, the love of many would wax cold. There may come a neglect of the spiritual life, of the prayer life, failure to read the Bible, forgetting to assemble in God's house. How easily we can find excuses, first not to attend the prayer meeting, then not to attend the Sunday evening service, finally not to go to services at all. When a young couple was encouraged to be in service on a Sunday night, the reply was given, "Well, we'll pray about it. But that's the night we like to be together at home." Well, see, you wouldn't have to pray about whether to be in the house of God when the doors are open. The Bible clearly states, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." In other words, as we get closer to the return of our Lord, we need to be found more often in the house of God or in a place of prayer. We may claim we have Christian television. We watch these programs. But they do not replace the presence of the Lord that you can actually feel when you're in the house of God, providing, of course, His word is proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. The next verse says, "If we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries." We will not say neglect of God's house is willful sin, but it certainly borders on neglect. Well, friend, isn't it time to realize if we're going to be strong Christians, established, ready for our Lord's coming, we'd better get ready and do something about our faith. Jude writes, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." Ah, that's the role we should play today. Help one another, encourage one another, even pulling a person from wrong companions, evil influences, and in a gentle, loving way, steering them to the Savior. Remember, we cannot prevent a person from following his own desires and his own wishes. We're people with a free choice, a free will. But in closing, this benediction: "Unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Be therefore ready also, in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh."
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns? Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.